Yeah, we play the number two team in the state tomorrow. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. They're not. I don't mean to say this like they're not a good football team. I just don't think they're as good as like number two in the state. Like what you think.
Yeah.
I think they're beatable. I think if we don't get them, somebody's going to. I don't think they're like a state title team. They're not. I've seen state title teams. They're not that. But they are very good. They're fast. They're really fast. No one's held them to their lowest point total of the entire season is 33 points.
Damn.
So they've been scoring. They've been averaging like 50 a game. So yeah. I'm not telling you they're bad. They're just not. I don't think they're the number two team in the state, truthfully. Mm-hmm. I think they're more like maybe the number 10 team in the state.
Yeah. I feel so, no, it's funny because so in my NCAA dynasty, I made the college playoff for once, finally, after struggling to get there, but I made it. I beat Oregon. I wouldn't say soundly because it was only a score I won by, but I beat them, and then I had to play the dude that's first overall. He went undefeated on the season, and everyone was like, "We're rooting for you, man. We need an upset." And I was like, "Bro, last time I played this fool, I got waxed. Like, nothing happened." And I was playing him, and it was just, mind you, all year I don't think I scored over like 50, except for when I played the FCS East, which I don't even know if that's a real school. I think they're just in this game for fun. And so, yeah. I was playing him. We went back and forth the whole game. The only thing that did me dirty was I threw a pick. On my second drive, he threw a pick six. So I was down a score the whole game. And then in the fourth quarter, he went up another score and I threw another pick. So then I was like, it's over. Like I lost. So I just let him score. And then I was just trying to do random stuff. So I like threw a ball deep to a dude. He picked it. I was like, all right, oh well. And then he was letting the clock run. And then I called the timeout because I got a stop on like second down, and then he scored again. So then it looked like he beat me by like 30 or whatever, 20 something. But in reality, it was like the fourth quarter was like a fluke because once I threw that other pick, I just stopped caring. I knew it was over.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I've got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, bringer of good fortune, I hope. Jody! What's up, Joe?
Not much, man. We're here. Start off by saying sorry for taking the break last week without mentioning it, but hey, we roll on. We're back.
It was on me.
Nah.
It was on me. Hand up.
Nah, you had some well-deserved time with the family. I'm not going to put that on you. It was
on me.
I told you enjoy your time with the family. It wasn't just you.
You did.
It was a collective.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah.
I do appreciate. It's crazy. We are in the double-digit weeks of the NFL season. We are finally here.
We're running out of football.
Home stretch of the regular season. We've got 8 weeks of football left in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it'll be nut crunching time in the playoffs. But speaking of playoffs. Give you the quick update on the squad over here. We did limp our way to a 3-7 finish a little bit there. Started 2-0 in district.
Whoa.
Started 2-0 in district. And then lost our last three games. Last time we were on, I told you about the bad loss we had at home.
Yeah.
We then went on the road in a kind of a must win game if we wanted to have a shot at winning the district, and started off great. In the middle of the second quarter, we started shooting ourselves in the foot. We went into halftime down 14-8. Played pretty well defensively for the most part. We're doing some good things. And then, we ended up in a dogfight. We were down 22-16 with about 7 minutes to go. We got them in third and long. And we just blew our assignment, dropped the guy in coverage, man coverage, and they threw a touchdown.
Dang.
That was kind of the nail in the coffin. The game ended up being some kind of crazy final score. I think it ended up being like 34 to 26 or something like that. I mean, mm-hmm. 34 to 22, I think is what it was.
Okay.
You
guys
get
two then, I take it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I mean, we were right there. We could have had it. We made some too many mistakes. And then this last week we played the district champions and had them on the ropes. We were up 16-0 with a minute and a half to go in the first half.
Okay.
And then we threw a pick six.
Ooh.
That hurts. Quick three and out, punted to him. Gave before up a half? Deep ball. Yeah, gave up a deep ball right before the half. And went into halftime up 16-13 instead.
Mm. Dang.
And then they came out to start the second half. And their second play from scrimmage, they ran a halfback pass and it scored to give them the lead 19-16. Ooh. And then they never really looked back. We ended up losing 40-30. We gave up a pick six and a punt block in the second half for a touchdown. So defensively, we really didn't play that bad, but we
shot ourselves in the foot. The saying.
Yeah. And so we messed some stuff up, but still found ourselves in the playoffs, you know, kind of luckily, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And we got to play the number two team in the state of Texas tomorrow. They're a good football team, really fast. They do a lot on offense that you have to prepare for. I mean, like, seriously, the one set, they're coming out and they're in, you know, what looks like wishbone. And then the next play, they're in spread 2x2. And then the next play, they're giving you tackle over. And then the next play, they're lining up in this crazy formation and they're running like reverse flea flicker to the quarterback, throw it deep. So they're doing a million things on offense. So they make you prepare for every run scheme, power, counter, inside zone, split zone, speed option, mm-hmm. ISO. Like they're making you prepare for all of it.
Yeah.
Formationally, they have a million formations. I think I tagged like 39 formations in their last four games. So they're going to make you do a lot defensively to prepare.
Yeah.
And they're a good football team. So we've got our hands full. But, you know, the message has been the same all week, which is, you know, to the kids, if you believe, if you believe, we can go get it done and we'll be the talk of the town. You know, I mean, we can go get this thing done. So, and then the nice thing is if you win this game, you set yourself up to go on a run. But this is the toughest one. So mm-hmm. you got to win this one first. So, and in other news, last week during the game, I was so excited, celebrating so much that while I was kind of throwing my hands up and celebrating, I dislocated my shoulder. The one that always dislocates. It was pretty embarrassing to be celebrating as a coach and you dislocate your shoulder.
Did you pop back in or?
Oh yeah. You know how it just hops right back in there now and kind of hurts. You take a little ibuprofen and I was fine, but pretty embarrassing. Let me know how old I was.
I feel that
my family thought it was funny. So shout out to them. And but we can move it on, you know, and enough about me. Let's talk some NFL news here.
Yes, sir. First thing, last week we had our guy Christian McCaffrey return to the field. Now I didn't get to watch much football that day. I actually picked up a shift on Sunday. So I worked in the morning, kind of missed all the morning games, which is, you know, a lot of the day. And I heard he played pretty well. I couldn't tell you if he did, but heard that he looked good enough.
He looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's see. We'll see how that goes. Maybe he goes back to scoring touchdowns every week. That would be nice. Help with some betting. But Next thing up on this list, we got the Rams traded Tre'Davious White last week. I don't know where he went. Couldn't tell you. But
Ravens.
There you go. Ship him to the AFC. Get him out of the NFC. Let's see. We had the Saints trade Marshawn Lattimore, right? That's his first name. To the Commanders. They needed some cornerback depth, so that helps them out. And then Steelers got Mike Williams from the Jets, who actually made a big play in that
game. The Steelers made a couple big time moves at the deadline, because they also got Preston Smith from the Packers, who could prove to be big, because I think in that game Sunday, Alex Highsmith looked like he turned his ankle real bad, like one of those bad high ankle sprains, you know, out for 4 to 6 weeks type of thing.
Yeah.
And so Preston Smith will be a big piece for them in that defense now as a pass rusher, replacing Alex Highsmith. So the Steelers did some good stuff at the trade deadline.
Yeah, they're looking nice right now ever since they got Russ at the starter, which is crazy. No one would have guessed that. Not even me. I said they were going to be terrible. So I shout out to the Steelers.
Not even this crew right here. No, none of us could have guessed that one.
I mean, you had them in the playoffs. I had them.
I did. I always thought the Steelers would be good. I just thought that the quarterback would still be a problem for them. And now, again, it's not like quarterback is a strength of their team, but Russell Wilson's playing well right now. He's playing well enough to win games when they're in them. So credit to him, credit to Mike Tomlin, credit to the Steelers organization for being prepared for this moment, and they're doing a great job. Let's get to some awards. What you think, Joe?
Yeah, let's get it. Kicking it off, we got the Tukwa Gamer of the Week Award. Now, I assume you saw my suggestion, but we'll roll. I'll take it. I got Ja'Marr Chase this week. My guy balled out versus the Ravens. Fortunately, they lost. Sadly, close game. Just kind of the kicker for the Bengals this year, just losing all the close games. But Ja'Marr Chase went 11 catches on 17 targets, 264 yards, 3 touchdowns. My man went nutty. He got, what, 55 or something in fantasy? Just gave people a dub.
Yeah, he went crazy. He went crazy. So I do agree with Ja'Marr Chase. However, I did have to give a nice shout out to a dude who is still balling at age 38 on the D-line.
Okay.
That's Calais Campbell. All right. Yeah, 1 sack, 2 batted passes, multiple quarterback hurries against the Rams on Monday Night Football. I mean, just such a gamer to still be playing this well at such a physical position at his age. It's one thing to see quarterbacks play, you know, touching 40, just after 40. This dude is nearly 40, and he's a D lineman. All right, that's just insane longevity. So Calais Campbell, you know, I'm gonna say that most teams are gonna be feeling pretty good when he retires, because this dude's still wreaking havoc.
And well, on the Jody's Dog of the Week, I too decided to pick someone up off the Dolphins from that Monday night game. Former Ram, Jalen Ramsey. Now, from what I remember seeing in the game, my dude made a ton of open field tackles, was targeted with Puka and Cooper, and I don't even think he let many catches slip, if he did. Couldn't tell you specifically on the targets and whatnot, but it looked like he was shutting them down out there versus the former team. I'm sure knowing somewhat the scheme helps and whatnot, but it's been a couple of years since he's been there, and my dude kind of balled out on Monday, so he's my dog of the week this week.
Like it.
Yeah.
I got a minor setback for a major comeback. That team this week is the Texans. Tough week for them after blowing a big lead to the Lions. But I do expect a bounce back, big time bounce back, when they play the Cowboys on Monday Night Football this week. Texas. Big interstate rivalry. You know Jerry wants to win it, of course, with Dallas. But I think the Texans and Stroud, they bounce back against Micah Parsons and the Cowboys, and I think you see a Texans victory on Monday Night Football this week.
Yeah, Jerry needs to figure out his stadium, bro. He got people can't catch touchdowns in the end zone. And my gosh,
dude, you are
couldn't see
stealing my. Because he's blinded by the sun of his own stadium, and literally dropping it because he just can't see. And then what's even crazier, just as crazy, I don't know. It's just in addition to it.
My bad.
yeah. This is the No Cap Hats Off Award of the Week.
Yeah.
And you were already, you're already there, so it's great. But Jerry Jones, did you see his reaction? This dude crashed out, huh? He went crazy. They asked him about it, and he said, our coaches know where the sun is before the coin toss. Players know where the sun is. Hey, everybody knows where the sun is.
Man,
and then he said, where's the moon? And it was like, whoa, what is Jerry talking about right now? He lost his mind a little bit, and I think he just can't handle how bad they are. They're just bad. They're bad.
It's tough. Hey, I mean, Cooper Rush out there at the helm now. Dak got her with the hammy. It's all bad over there in Jerry Land. But
Jerry Land.
Hey, on PMT this week, they said he probably meant to build it north and west, but ended up building it east and west. And that's why the sun's a problem.
He loves it. He loves the sun. Where's the moon?
It's up there with the man on it. But speaking of men in the trenches, we got the Strahan Munoz Big Fellow Award. And this week, I got number 63, the right guard on the Cardinals, Tristan Colon, I believe. I don't know how to pronounce that last name. I'm going to guess it's that. I got to witness more run blocking. So I know I brought that up a couple weeks back. I like watching the run game. It's fun. You get to see how dirty these fools can be. I mean, not necessarily being against the rules, but, you know, getting physical. And so he has great extension in the pass pro. He likes keeping people to, you know, a distance with his eyes are always on the swivel. So when he didn't have no dudes, he was looking for help, getting extra push on the end and whatnot, helping out his tackle. Good to see. We got some nice pulls from the kid. I love watching him pull. He was going every which way. So they had him pulling for some zone and then some wide, like, outside stuff. You know what I mean? Fun watching that. And he gets the second level whenever he's got the combos and whatnot, which is cool. And then that's it. I don't watch this week. I kind of cheated, not going to lie. I was going to watch the Cardinals again, and I was like, wait, I watched them last week. So I don't know if he had an early day this week. They did blow out the Jets, though, 31-6, so it's possible. But they oddly enough, I don't know if he's younger or what, but they kept rotating out their guard 2 weeks ago. So, like, it'd be him. Next thing you know, it's someone else, where I was like, oh, he's done for the day, and then he'd be back in. In the fourth quarter, they rotated a couple times. So he was in at the start of the quarter, was out, came in for like a couple plays, like a drive, and just, you know, quick drive, took him out, and then he finished the game. It was weird. So I don't know if they're just getting the other kid some work or what, but whatever they're doing, it's working. So they're doing nice.
Cardinals are on fire right now. On the Strahan side of this award, I think I've given it to him this year, but I'm going to do it again. Jared Verse, he's just a man among children right now. incredible. He's incredible to watch. He plays with so much power and leverage. His 3.5 sacks in his last three games, including one on Monday Night Football against the Dolphins. Some of the stuff, I mean, it's not just the sack numbers, though. It's some of the stuff he does in the run game where he'll just, like, literally take a blocker and just, like, throw him into the hole and then go make the tackle. And you're just like, golly, is this the Hulk that I'm watching play football? Like, he is unreal how strong and powerful he is. He understands leverage. He understands how to move people. He's becoming quickly one of my favorite dudes in the NFL to watch. And that's not just because he's a Ram. It's just because of the way he plays. He's a fun dude to watch. If you haven't watched the Rams a whole lot, or you haven't watched Jared Verse, do yourself a favor and go watch him on Sunday, because this dude, he has it, man. He has it.
Yeah, he's definitely a big presence. Shout out to them picking him up this draft, because he's been balling. That's for sure. Speaking of people balling, we got the Who's Cooking Award. Are they doing really good? You know, we got to shout out their their presence, or are they doing really bad? Or it's like, hey, this guy has been struggling. Take a look at him. He's got no good food on the table. It's burnt. He let it cook too long. It's burnt.
Oof.
And
burnt stuff.
I got Aaron Rodgers this week. Not a whole lot from the guy. Obviously, like I said, they got smoked by the Cardinals. My dude went 22 for 35, 151 yards, and a fumble. Just no performance over there. Struggled, of course. You can see from the score, and it's like, who knows what's going on over there in New Jersey, because these fools, they thought Aaron Rodgers was the answer, and it's just been bad. They got Devontae Adams, his boy. Now it's still not that. That don't mean nothing, so. We'll see what happens with them going forward.
Yeah, his yards per completion there are not good. I've got Russell Wilson for this award this week. We kind of gave it to him his first week as a starter, but I'm going back to it just because that game-winning touchdown to Mike Williams was a moon ball. It was pretty.
Yeah,
he threw for 195 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. 93.6 passer rating, but most importantly, he's 3-0 as the starter of the Steelers, and they are on a winning streak right now. They're doing some really good things, and Russell Wilson's at the heart of it. So good for him, because this was a place that I don't think a whole lot of people thought he would be in at this point in the year. Certainly not either of us, I think.
Definitely.
But he's playing well, and he's got the Steelers in a great spot to go win their division.
Yeah, that 195 yards did me a little dirty, too. I had his prop at 210, maybe 210 and a half. I don't remember. But didn't reach it, and I was like, oh, of course. Another L on the bets. Yeah.
Tough. The L's make for good content, though, so we enjoy that's true. Part. Appreciate you, Jody. Sacrificing for the pod, baby.
And speaking of L's, we got the Boo Boo Evans Award. People that just struggle for this squad. I got Jermaine Burton on the Bengals.
He embodies Boo Boo Evans.
He couldn't perform for the squad. 1 for 5 on 11 yards. Like, you got your boy Jamar Chase putting up 264, 11 catches. My dude can't even get, like, I don't know, more than a 20th because it's only 11 yards. He did not do nearly as good as his homie on the other side. So, Jermaine Burton, just
they need to catch. You got a helmet.
Yeah, that dude's been out all year for the most part, which is a tough one too.
All right, so that does it for awards. We're gonna do half of the turnover on downs, mostly because people. I'm just gonna keep it real for y'all. I'm gonna keep it real. Your boy is not prepared with film this week. I was prepping for a playoff game, so hopefully y'all can cut me some slack on this one.
Hey,
don't have a trend, and I don't have a third down breakdown. However, I will say this. In terms of trends, if you want to know where the future of NFL offenses are going, watch Cliff Kingsbury's offense with the Commanders. I'm sure I'm going to have a breakdown on that next week.
Okay.
In terms of the third down breakdown, I think the Bears need a reset. That's kind of an obvious.
Definitely.
But something is going on in the last few weeks with Caleb Williams where he's no longer trusting his eyes and getting the ball out on time. He's taking way too many sacks. Their O-line's not helping, clearly. So I'm worried about the Bears and Caleb Williams right now. They need a win.
Their OC, didn't they, or something?
Yes. Yeah, yes. So they're changing play callers. So it just feels like a bad situation. So that's all I have to say on these things. Just observations that I have right now.
Keep
but
them in mind.
Just things to think about. But let's go to second down, Jody. What you got for us?
All right, so the bet for this week that I'm looking at, the three I got in mind, I got the Packers -5 at the Bears, kind of just salt in the wound. We got to see the Packers do something because they've been on a little struggle bus. The Bears haven't really been good, as you mentioned, in the past couple weeks. So I would look at that one. This one's kind of a tough one because I looked at the numbers, and I don't know. They've only played a couple times, and it had me thinking they scored a lot, which I didn't pick this one.
Not.
You're saying, but the Chiefs Bills, I have the over 46. I know the Chiefs have been struggling the past couple weeks. They put up 16 or 17, I don't remember what the score was, versus the Broncos. We had, I think, another rough week before that. And so it's a little wishy-washy, but I had it written down. It looked good when I was looking over the numbers on like the spreads and whatnot. And then this last one that I am taking is the Rams -4.5 versus the Patriots in Gillette. Now, the weather might be the biggest factor in this one, if it's cold and whatnot. Maybe it's snowing, I don't know. But other than that, I think the Rams need to get right after that Monday night loss. And the Patriots play some solid ball. I'm not saying it's, like, crazy. And they're better than what we expected, for sure. So I just think the Rams got to go out there and perform versus the young gun, Drake May, and show that they're capable of keeping in contention for the playoffs.
I like it. The last time the Rams went to Gillette Stadium, it was the end of Jared Goff's rookie year, and he had a miserable start there. Uh-huh. So would love to see the Rams get a little get back here and go get a win. So I like that one. What you got for your bad beat of the week?
So I briefly talked about it. If you took the Broncos to win that game versus the Chiefs, I know they just broke the streak last year of, like, I don't know, 17 consecutive games or something wild like that of them losing the Chiefs. But they had that field goal at the end of the game to beat them, take the lead, and win by a point. And, of course, lo and behold, Chiefs magic. They go and block the field goal that they needed to win, and game over. Tough one.
Yep.
Yep. And then another one I seen was Sam Laporta yards. He had 66 before he got injured, and his line was set at 70.
Ooh,
which is also
a good line.
Yeah.
Good line.
That's, it's like they knew
mark
something
of a good line there.
Yeah.
All right. So before we, you know, we have a little bit of a short pod today. Before we get to the banger of the week, we just want to take a quick peek. Little peeksy at the NFL playoff picture. So in the NFC, we've got the Lions at 8-1. The Eagles, after a win tonight on Thursday Night Football against the Commanders, are 8-2.
Okay.
The Falcons are 6-4, and the Cardinals are 6-4. Those are your division leaders right now. At the 5 seed, the first wild card, you got the Vikings at 7-2. Then you've got the Packers at 6-3, and the Commanders at 7-4. You know, you've got plenty of teams in the hunt, the 49ers, the Bears, the Rams, and the Seahawks, all kind of hovering right there behind the Commanders. However, Commanders have 7 wins. All those teams don't have more than 5.
Yeah,
so, yep, there's going to be a tough hill to climb there for those teams, I think. You look down the road at the AFC, you've got the Chiefs 9-0, the Bills 8-2, the Steelers 7-2, and the Texans at 6-4. Those are your divisional leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Then your wild card, the first one, Ravens 7-3, Chargers 6-3, and Broncos 5-5. Of course, you've got, you know, the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bengals all kind of sitting right around that outside of the playoffs there. And the Broncos at 5-5 are definitely not a solidified 7 seed here. If the season were to end today, our playoff matchups, you'd have in the NFC a divisional rematch, Eagles Commanders. Fun game.
Yeah,
fun game. Falcons Packers, also a fun game. Two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, not again.
Not so good. So be interesting. And then Cardinals Vikings. Battle of Kyler Murray versus Sam Darnold. A little intriguing matchup there between the Vikings' awesome defense and what the Cardinals' offense has become this year with dudes healthy. That would just be a fun matchup as well.
Yeah.
In the AFC, you'd have a Bills-Broncos matchup that feels like the like Saturday kind of early afternoon game where everyone expects the Bills to blow them out.
Yeah.
You'd have the Steelers hosting the Chargers. I would love that. That would be fun. Tomlin and Harbaugh. Can you imagine? That's a well-coached game right there. I would enjoy that. And then Texans-Ravens, Is Stroud versus Lamar, and we saw that in the playoffs last year. You know, you get to see it again. That becomes kind of a little bit of a rivalry there. Of all the matchups we could possibly see right now, Joe, which one stands out to you the most?
I think the Falcons-Packers, simply because of Kirk Cousins. So he was over there in the Vikings. Now he's in Atlanta. So he kind of knows them. They know him. You know, I think that would be fun to watch. And then for the AFC, I will take... I think I agree with you with the Steelers-Chargers. That's the one. Yeah.
Steelers-Chargers is the one to me. Eagles-Commanders, I like.
Just the division rivalry for sure. Those are always
and
fun.
And the quarterbacks, Hurts and Daniels, are fun to watch. But, man, Steelers-Chargers, that'd be the best coach game all year. You know what I mean? Just two coaches going at it. And they both have the tools to win consistently right now. So that would be a really fun game. I'd like that.
That's a fun one just to watch the coaches on the sideline. You got Harbaugh over there in his, you know, two-point stance, and then you got Tomlin on the other side just standing there, got his little thing in front of his face, just looking all mean, you know what I mean? That'd be fun to just watch him stand there.
Of all the teams not in the playoffs right now, who do you think is the most dangerous?
Oh, I kind of want to say the Dolphins for the AFC. I know Tua has been a little slower to get back to speed, but... I think as soon as he gets right, Tyreek, you know, stops battling his wrist injury, they could get nutty again like they've had been in the past couple of years. And then for the NFC, the Bucks. They're not in there, the Bucks. I think they've played some hard games. I think they got most of their tough games out the way. And Baker's been balling. The running back corps have been nice. Was it Rashad White and Bucky Irving? And I think they might be getting Mike Evans back soon too. I'm not sure. So a lot of things. Yeah,
I'm gonna go the team. I would like to say the Rams, but it's tough with that Monday night loss. The team that's really standing out to me right now is San Francisco.
Yeah, that's
true. Getting McCaffrey back and healthy, and he looks good. They're 5-4. They're kind of starting to hit the stride. I believe they've won two in a row. And Shanahan's always been better after the bye. Mm-hmm. And I like their look right now. I think they're getting better on defense too. So I think that the 49ers could be a sneaky team this year where they're not going to be a top three seed more than likely. They could win the division, be the four seed, or they could be a wild card. And either way, I could see them making a little run with that being the case. So the Niners, to me, would be the most dangerous team.
What about for the AFC?
In the AFC, I think I have to go with the Bengals just because of Joe Burrow. They're also getting T. Higgins back, and they're getting healthier. Their defense hasn't been as good this year for the most part, but I do think they could make some noise if they can get in.
They got to win the rest of their games, though. I think, they're 2-7, right? Something wild.
No, I think they're 3-7 right now. Okay. They
got a bye, and they don't. You're right.
So I think they've got their work cut out for them.
Yeah.
But I also think 9-8 makes the playoffs in the AFC, the seventh seed. The Broncos are only 5-5 right now.
That's true.
I mean, I think 9-8 could get that seventh seed, and I think the Bengals are capable of that. And here's the thing. If they do that, it means they won a ton of games on the stretch. So if they get in, they're hot.
Yeah, that is true.
So I'll go with that. All right. Short but quick but good pod here. We've got the banger of the week, and it is my week here.
I had this before, so I could agree for sure.
I am juiced up to tell you all about something, all right? So there's this limited time, special definitely. Seasonal order that you can get at Chick-fil-A. Now, I will tell you, the honey pimento chicken sandwich, highly recommend, very good. Okay. But... that's not what I'm talking about for my banger of the week. My banger of the week is the banana pudding milkshake at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's the best milkshake I've ever had. The best milkshake I've ever had in my life. All right. It's the best.
Banana pudding is fire in general. And then they
put it's got the they even put the little vanilla wafers in there they do the whole they do it right and it is fantastic. I paid I don't know whatever it was $5 for it.
Yeah, I want to say like $5.69 or something.
I thought to myself, I should have paid $5 more than I did. That's how good this was. I would have paid $10 for it because that's how good it was. Almonds went back for seconds. Had I not been considering my overall health and well-being.
Yeah, definitely.
The sugar in it is crazy, but so good. I mean, if you're just looking for a nice, creamy, sweet, cold treat, I don't think you can go wrong. Banana pudding milkshake at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And they'll give you your shake and they will tell you my pleasure on your way out. Bang. Drop the mic. Banger.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. My guy said, and they'll tell you my pleasure. Hey, they do have some good customer service over there. The shake was definitely amazing. I might have mentioned it when I went to my work conference, you know, like a month ago. We stopped at Chick-fil-A, and I seen it on the menu, and I was like,
closed on Sunday.
Yeah. You my Chick-fil-A. But anyways,
you my number on the menu. One.
With the lemonade.
Yeah. All
right. But I seen it on the menu off to the side, and I was like, man, do I go two sandwiches here? No, I got two nuggies. I got regular nuggies and grilled nuggies. And I was like, do I get this thing too? And like, mind you, it's on the company, but it's like, that's a lot of bread. Because the nuggies themselves, I think, are like $6 to $8 a pop. And then plus the other like $6 for the drink, I was like, nah, I'll just stick to the nugs, leave it there. And then fast forward to like 2 weeks ago, Johnny's like, yo, you want anything from Chick-fil-A or Cane's? And I'm like, give me the specialty shake. I don't care what it is. He was like, which one? I was like, whatever the one is that they're giving on like the seasonal, like you said. I was like, give me it.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's a banana pudding. It sounds fire. I was like, run it. And then we got to the crib. I had it, and I was like, you know, I was slurping that thing. Made sure it was all gone.
Quit glazing. So quit glazing the shake, bro. Come on.
No, it's fire. I agree, definitely. And it's one thing that we don't have over here in SLO because there's no drive-through. There's in the whole city no drive-through. So this is like 30 minutes out to get this, and it was worth the wait.
Worth it, yeah. No, if you have a Chick-fil-A near you, it's worth your time to go get that banana pudding milkshake. So we'll leave you with that. And until next time, we'll let our guy take us out. Ray Ray.
You're...
I be feeling myself, but man, I can't stop it. I'm killing myself, cause every time I see Shawty, I'm choking up to the blade. I wonder if I approach it, she gon' throw me some blade. Don't get me wrong, see I'm confident, but something about her that's got me slipping like a slide. Probably the mines, and I ain't even trying to get between thighs. It's something I ain't used to, way out of the usual. Ain't part of my resume, but I gotta demonstrate something that's kinda different to go and get her attention. Don't see her all the time, but I gotta mention. When she come around, I'm in a different dimension. I'm hoping that you a fan. Play my song, it's all part of the plan. Up late nights, I be lurking through the gram. Gotta find a way to make you call me your man. I'm hoping that you a fan. I'm hoping that you a fan. I'm hoping that you a fan. Damn, I'm hoping you a fan. Every time I see her at school, I'm like, damn. She broke it off with a man, I'm like, yeah, I'm in it, I got a shot. Cruising down the block, wifey material, she ain't partying a lot. I heard you like to sing, oh, word, me too. I mean, I can't sing, but I would go and sing with you. Make it a little ding, I'm just right with a dream. Heavy with seduction, I'm thinking wedding rings. I mean it, me and you running the town, I seen it. No, I ain't making noise, my route is scenic. Hold my hand through the grind, by my side when I shine. Telling you my vision, I'm wanting you to be mine, I'm hoping that you a fan. Play my song, it's all part of the plan. Up late nights, I be lurking through the gram. Gotta find a way to make you call me your man. I'm hoping that you a fan. I'm hoping that you a fan. I'm hoping that you a fan. Hoping you a fan. I know you don't know me, but just know I know you. I get choked up when I see you at school. I try to play it cool, so I went and wrote a rhyme. Some kind of smooth, I hope you hear it this time. Play my song, it's all part of the plan. Up late nights, I be lurking through the gram. Gotta find a way to make you call me your man. I'm hoping you a fan.